Yes, my name is Clark Holsinger, and I was the trial attorney for Mr. Daniels in another one of the cases that came out of the Northern District of Indiana, in which Mr. Daniels was charged under 18 U.S.C. 2422 with the use of the Internet with the intent to persuade a minor under the age of 18 to engage in sexual activity. Mr. Daniels proceeded to trial on the one-count indictment before Judge Rudy Lozano. He was convicted on that sole count and sentenced by Judge Rudy Lozano and to 210 months.
Now, Mr. Holsinger, I have a question for you. It's a two-part question. I am still not really clear why you think the fact that some of these other identities that are picked up, Daisy 13, Indiana, and Blondie T, why that's potentially even exculpatory evidence, either for impeachment or on the merits. And then secondly, I can't resist pointing out that if you look at this court's decision in the United States against Davy, Blondie T is also a government identity. We discussed that Davy was about Blondie T, so they actually are both government identities, but I don't know why it's exculpatory, so I don't know why it matters.
Your Honor, I did not know that Blondie T was another government entity, and I missed that one.
550 F3rd 653. The case has been out for a while, and it's for some reason not cited.
There were, in the computer of Mr. Daniels, 192 different log files, and each one of those log files related to a different group of chats under a screen name. Of those 192, these three names, the Blonde T, the Daisy 13, and the Amanda 13, were the only ones the government could come up with that related to any activity with someone under the age of 16.
Or you could say any activity believed to be with someone under the age of 16, because I think that's why I'm having trouble seeing that it's all that exculpatory.
Your Honor, those 192, we had no evidence that any of those others related to attempts to persuade anybody to under age to engage in sexual activity. And then all of a sudden we find out that the three that are being entered as 404B now are actually government agents, part of this larger sting, which was something we didn't know at trial, and we did not have an opportunity at all to pursue that as being or present to the jury the fact that all these three activities are all related to the government's investigation in these adult chat rooms growing out of in this fantasy world in Yahoo.
But here's the issue. I mean, it's well established at this point that even if this were the only chat he had, the Amanda chat, liability is possible even though the people behind that screen identity are not, in fact, underage children. So the basic liability can be there, and it really seems to be thus about what the defendant thinks he's doing in these conversations. And I'm not sure. Explain to me more what you would have done if you had known at trial that Daisy 13 Indiana and Blondie T were both personae created by the government. Would you have introduced that evidence?
Well, I think, Your Honor, we would go into the initiation of those contacts, who really initiated them, as to why they were with Mr. Daniel, and we would certainly get into that portion of it of why of the three activities on this, all these chats would have only been government agents, and that it was the government that brought along Mr. Daniels' activity into this area.
But in your case, after Sergeant Howard creates Amanda 13, it's your client who initiates the chat with Amanda, right? At least that's what the briefs that we have in front of us tell us.
That's correct. With Amanda 13, that's correct.
And I don't know, obviously, who initiated, but why, given that he initiated, would it be important to find out whether Daisy 13 or Blondie T initiated?
Well, I think, Your Honor, what that gets into, again, is the...
But why exculpatory, I guess? I mean, you're making a Brady point, so...
Well, I think, Your Honor, it's exculpatory when you get into that area where Mr. Daniels, whether he was going to take a significant step towards completing this act, the only area that originates this is these contacts by the government agents. I mean, there is nothing else in that computer that indicated that Mr. Daniel would be involved in this.
But Mr. Daniel does go to this park in Valparaiso equipped for an encounter.
He does take that step, yes, he does. But at no point were we able to address that 404B evidence with the fact that all three of these, now that I know they're all three, were actually government agents. Mm-hmm. And I think...
How old is Mr. Daniel?
Mr. Daniels is in his 20s, Your Honor.
He is also in his 20s.
Yes.
Of course, you know, because the Brady challenge, of course, was not raised before the district court.
It was not, Your Honor. And
we'd be dealing with plain error here.
That's correct.
There's no argument of actual innocence here.
That's right.
Because there can't be, you know.
That's correct. I did not make that argument.
Oh, boy. Gosh.
And actually, and my answer is the same over and over on these three identities. The fact that we did not have an opportunity to pursue that at trial, I think, affects it significantly. I was trial. I dropped the pursuit of the instructions on the entrapment. I didn't know that these other agents were involved. Mm-hmm. The government may be right on their second point in their brief in response, is that the proper way I should have proceeded was to develop this more at the trial court, and I may be premature here, by a new trial with newly discovered evidence before the trial court. I guess my response would be, I still think we should get a new trial on the newly found evidence. And if not, given that, my client shouldn't be foreclosed from going on with this new trial motion before the trial court.
Thanks. Okay, Mr. Kohler.
Good afternoon. May it please the Court. Josh Kohler. Your Honor, what we have here is a situation where the defendant was chatting with three people that he thought were girls that were minors and 13 years old. And he traveled to a prearranged meeting location with a condom, just as he had talked about in a web chat. Now, the government did not turn over the fact that some of the 404B was created by another undercover agent.
Well, actually, both of them. I don't know if you'd... Unless there are two Blondie T's out there, but the Davy case is all about somebody else who got, you know, who got caught with Blondie T.
And, Your Honor, the government concedes that it would have turned that over had it known. The real issue here is, was it impeaching? Was it exculpatory? And was it material? And under the controlling case law, the answer to all three of those questions are in the government's favor, because...
Why isn't it material?
It's not material, Your Honor, because it doesn't go to entrapment, and it wouldn't have changed the outcome of the trial. If the 404B had not been introduced at all, the government still would have had an extremely powerful case. And under plain error, it's the defendant's burden to show that the outcome would have been different. And with the record before the court, I respectfully suggest that's just impossible because of the nature of the defendant's chats with Amanda 13, because of the fact that he initiated those chats, and because he, in fact, traveled to a park to meet Amanda 13 and engage in a sex act.
So you don't think that there would be any necessity to remand for an evidentiary hearing?
No, Your Honor. I think, respectfully, the record before the court is enough for the court to say that it's not material, it's not impeaching, and it's not exculpatory. Cases that this court has reviewed in the past, Judge Swigert and Esposito made clear in a concurrence that evidence that was much stronger than this, even he felt was impeaching, but wasn't material. In Strickler versus Green, the Supreme Court said impeachment material of an eyewitness wasn't even enough to create a true Brady violation. And here, it's essentially the only relevance is to two chats that were admitted under 404B. And to suggest that it's exculpatory, I think the gist of the argument is, well, there were a lot of other conversations on the computer, and somehow the fact that these three may have all been government agents, that makes it less incriminating. And that strains logic, especially under the plain error review, when it's the defendant's burden to show that that's, in fact, the case. Because it doesn't matter if you're talking to 10 people or 20 people or 100 people or 200 people. If you're talking to three people and the conversations and your actions amount to a crime, it doesn't matter that you're having other innocent conversations. Furthermore, I would just suggest that the record before the court, this has not been brought up below, it was present at sentencing. And there's a reason that it wasn't brought up below. It wasn't brought up below because the judge, the government, and the defense, I think, recognized that really at sentencing, all this did was make the defendant look that much more dangerous and that much more culpable when he's talking to people and he's got to be casting a pretty wide net, is basically what the government said, because he's talking to multiple government agents, so who knows what he's doing elsewhere.
Was everywhere. I mean, how many identities did the government create in this operation?
Your Honor, that's not in the record. Okay. I'd be happy to file a
28J. We're beginning to accumulate them one at a time as these cases come out.
If the court would like, I'd be happy to find that out and file a 28J letter. I know there were multiple, and again,
panel heard another one of these cases yesterday.
I'm wondering if you're asking this court to follow the Fifth Circuit and refuse to consider any Brady challenges for the first time on appeal, even under plain error standards.
Your Honor, I don't think that a Brady on appeal, when a Brady challenge is not developed, I think it is appropriate not to consider it. I think here, however, we also have the instance of essentially the defendant has raised the specter now at oral argument of, well, it should just be remanded. I should get a chance to reopen discovery, file a Rule 33 motion. Any guidance from this court that would be appropriate, I think, would be both premature and contrary to the record, because the court does have in the record enough right now to say that it's not material, it's not exculpatory, and it's not impeaching. So to delay this litigation further, I think, is just unnecessary. However, I do agree with you, Judge Robner, that for the most part, trying to litigate a Brady claim with all of its factual intensities for the first time on appeal is not generally appropriate. With that, the government will stand on its briefs unless the court has any further questions.
Well, I want to thank Mr. Holsinger.
Does he have any more time?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I think one of the things that's significant here is that when we have the 404B, where they're trying to enhance the intent and the motive of this count, and we're finding that now this at least two, more than 50% of this, and maybe all of it, was created in this government investigation. And I think that's something that needs to be explored in a new trial so that the jury can put that into that mix that goes into making that decision as to whether guilt and what his intent and motive was. Thank you.